This is a Federal News Network podcast.
Welcome to For Your Benefit, presented by NITP, the federal leader in retirement planning seminars sponsored by WEPA. Join NITP for an hour of plain talk on planning your future. You've got questions, they've got answers.
Welcome to the May 24th, 2021 For Your Benefit radio show. We're here today with Bob Stacey. Bob is a young retired Fed, and we're going to talk about new beginnings, reinvention, next chapter in life, and I think Bob even used the term rewired. So, Bob, good morning.
Good morning. How are you, Bob?
Well, I'm anxious to be wide awake in 54 minutes, just like we are now. So I've heard you. I've talked to you. I think I know you. And the listeners are in for a treat. So rewired is a cutesy term for what? Not retired, is it?
No. I have determined when you look at retirement and you look at that first T in retirement, when I think of retirement and when I developed this program for you all, it seemed retirement sounds so final that you retire, you're done, whatever you want to do in life. And I don't want that to happen to anybody. You may actually retire from the current job you're in, whether it be private or a government service or your own company that you run. But really, I like people to think of that and change that T to a W. So I now mention it as rewirement, because that's what I want people to put a positive image on when they're ready to make that next step forward. As you said, the next step is the new beginnings, the reinvention, the next chapter life, whatever you want to call it, because we all now have that opportunity, as long as we're on this earth, to do something special, to do something new, to make do other challenges, maybe something similar to what you've left recently or going to leave, or maybe you're just ready to do something totally out of the ordinary. So that's why I call it rewirement. So I think that it's better to look at this as rewire and not the old term retirement.
You know, everybody isn't fortunate enough to hear you on site. The show certainly is a good place to go. And how many times have we done this? Five?
Oh, you and I have done this at least two or three times.
Yeah.
I know the last time I talked to you, which seemed like, as Gloria Stewart said in the Titanic film, it's been 84 years for her to go back and visit. For you and me, it's been 14 months. It was February of 2001. When we all decided to hunker down. So I'm glad we're finally getting back. And I'm also happy NITP still offers the services, even though I can't be there in person to the sessions, that it's been really great to do webinars for the people that need that critical information to make the right decision to rewire and do something new in their life.
Yeah, I second your comments. I thought at first, well, this you know, you're going to lose some traction because the people aren't in the same room. And I found that's really not the case. They're appreciative of you, me being there, and they ask questions just like we were in the same room. And
correct.
Sometimes they don't like the answers, they'll come back, which is good.
It is, yeah.
So it's not isolated, and same thing today. You know, all the folks that haven't had the opportunity to hear your velvet tones and your message, they've got it. So,
and I think it's good, Bob, because it's good for the folks out there listening today that, yes, they may not get to see me and others that do the seminars for NITP in person. But here's the bottom line. What this COVID situation has taught us is so many of us will not go back to the office, I believe, and they're going to be working from home, which could be a benefit or not, depending on your situation. But what I like is now there are options for everybody out there and agencies out there to offer this to as many people as they can, either via Zoom, Adobe Connect, your system, Owen24, via webinars, or I do believe come fall, maybe early winter, some agencies will again bring everybody back together, me included, and we go back to live seminars again. So what I like is that it's taught us to have options for everybody. So it's a boom for everybody. It's a win-win, and that's the type of logic I like to think of.
Okay, very good. So here we go. Somebody's on the fence. They're, I don't know, the earlier end of the career, late 40s, early 50s, or maybe very late. So the central question then, when is it time to retire?
Well, the time to rewire is different for everybody. That is true. You mentioned 40s, 50s. Most people, if you're in government service, I think if you want full benefits, and most people hopefully have had a benefits program from somewhere, whether you're FERS or CSRS. And I believe in the late 50s, early 60s, people start thinking about, okay, how do you know it's time? And I always tell people in all my seminars and webinars, you really need to ask three questions. And the first one is, have you had enough? And I think that's probably the easiest one. It was for me after my 32, 33 years of government service with the Department of Defense. And that was a big yes for me. There was no hesitation. And it's different for everybody. Had enough is traffic, it's long work hours, weekend, travel, taskers, maybe some of the folks you work with aren't worthy, they're not doing their share, which gets you frustrated. Maybe you've got a supervisor you don't care for or comes down on you all the time or hovers you like some do. And so that one I think is the easiest one to answer. The second one to know it's time is, do you have enough? And I know, Bob, you as a CPA and somewhat financial advisor, you can help people with. You got to have enough funds. In other words, is your reduced retirement pay going to be enough to carry you through the rest of your life? And the great thing about the government service is most of us do get X amount of pay to keep us going. And some people, of course, get extra if you have Social Security. And then most people in the government have the infamous 401k we know as the Thrift Savings Plan, TSP. So this is a different answer for everybody. It may not be an easy question to answer, which is why I highly recommend most people get a financial advisor to answer that question, do you have enough? And for some, it may be moving out, say, of you and me here in the D.C. area where we're coming from, where it's more expensive to live here. So you might want to move somewhere where it's less expensive. That can help. But that's the question some can answer on their own. But I think the majority probably need a little help, because what I don't want to happen is have anybody do a new rewirement and find they don't have enough, and then you have to go back to work. We never want to put the have to in there. We want to make sure it's you want to go back to work, not a have to go back to work. And finally, the third question to ask, if you know it's time, do you have enough to do? And that is simply, what are you going to do when you leave work? And that's, some people will do a lot of different things. Some will do, some things. What I don't want to happen to anybody is not do anything, because you probably know, Bob, if we all just are so active during our working life, if we just stop suddenly and leave the government or private sector and don't do anything and just sit at home and you're not active, then I think there could be health problems. It's not good mentally, it's not good socially. So that one is normally where my webinars come in, usually the last part of the 3-day or 4-day set of seminars. Do you have enough to do? And that's something people just need to think about. Some know right away, which is great, but I find there are a lot of people just think work is all they have to do. And then once they stop, they go, now what?
So dealing with that subject, one-on-one counseling with somebody, that actually recognized it not soon after they retired, that they were kind of going nowhere. And what was the switch that turned some of them? You talk about the rewire. Is it a hobby that they had that they decided then to devote more time to it, or was something they never thought of before, but you helped them?
It is both of those. And that's where I do a couple exercises in the class to get people thinking if they haven't thought already. And I can tell you, once people start really thinking about what they're going to do, to have enough to do, and they want to rewire, it gives them a lot of ideas. And if they don't know personally at the time, probably I can get them started thinking in that direction. But then I tell people, you know, ask your family, ask your friends, ask maybe your coworkers. They know you probably better than sometimes ourselves do. And so they go, you know, for you, Bob, let's say you go, you're a CPA and you go, gee, I wonder what I can do once I leave the firm that I'm working with now. Well, you know what, Bob, a good thing for you to do is to maybe go and put out your own shingle and work with family and friends and help them make some of these decisions financially that you could do. So it still connects you to the product that you have done in your career, but it also gives you a break from what you did have, but still keeps you going and knowing you really are there to help people. And that's the key. So I think for some, it is both of those. Is it a hobby? Is it interest? Is it going to be something new you've never thought about? And that's the fun of this, or it could be all of the above. What I don't want it to be is none of the above, because life is precious. We don't have all our lives to live on this earth. And for some, we don't know when that'll end. But I want to make sure everybody has a productive life that they had, hopefully, with their full-time job. And now they're moving on to this new adventure, new career, new beginnings. And that makes it even more fun. You can enjoy your life then.
Very good. We probably should take a break here, Andrew, because it's a perfect place to end. We'll do the commercial for the sponsor of the show, WAPM, and then we'll come back and talk about what Bob talked, take it off on some tangents.
Over 46,000 feds choose WAPA to be there for their life's biggest moments. Group term life insurance is a smart option if you're looking for coverage that'll help meet your changing needs. At WAPA, eligible employees can apply for up to $1.5 million in life insurance regardless of salary. We also offer other coverage options such as group short-term disability insurance or a chronic illness rider. WAPA has been serving civilian federal employees for over 75 years. Get life insurance on your terms. Visit waepa.org for more information.
WAPA helps provide coverage today that will protect your tomorrow. Group term life insurance coverage is important to have while building your future. Whether you're saving to buy your first home, starting your first federal job, or beginning a family, establish your WAPA policy now, and you can carry it with you into retirement. WAPA has been ensuring the future of civilian federal employees for more than 75 years. Find coverage that fits your future by visiting waepa.org today.
Welcome back to For Your Benefit. We're here today with Bob Stacey, a retired Fed, a rewired Fed. We've known each other for a fair number of years, and I don't think Bob's ever had a bad day. Would you agree?
I hope not. No, it's been, I tell my classes, I retired when rewired in February of 2008. So if I do the math, I think that's 13 years. And so I tell folks, excluding the last 14 months with most of us being at home and not going too many places, I think I've been bored maybe two or three times in those 13 years, because I feel if you've got the joy of those things you really want to do, whether they're new or old or with family, friends, your spouse, significant other, whatever it may be, it really can be an enjoyable time. And I can tell you these 13 years have flown by. And that's the beauty of this rewirement, that I think you can actually enjoy the later part of your life because it makes it so easy. And this later part of life, you know, we really have three stages, Bob, in our life. The one is youth, where we all are young, but that we're innocent. And that carries us up through college and then up to our working life as a second stage. And then you have the life after work. And so that's really what we're talking about now. What is that later stage, that third stage of life, that how we can make it productive and enjoy it?
Okay, if you were to look at the folks that you've counseled and whatnot, what would you say was one of your biggest challenge to turn the person around from maybe, you know, the sky's falling, gee, this is terrible, I don't have any more friends. Maybe that's a little extreme, but let's say they did have some issues with regards to not being as busy as they were on work. What would you say turn the light switch on for them?
I think it's trying to let them discover what they really are happy doing. And again, I believe there are many people that have really felt worthy of doing the work through their career. But then I do get some people that find, you know, this really isn't what I need to do. And that's where I try to work with them. I said, well, what are the things that bring you pleasure in life? What are the things that bring you passions in life? And I say, this is the time, because I tell people your darn job gets in the way. If you're working a 9 to 5, a 7 to 5, whatever hours, you don't have much time. You get up, go to work. Then you come back and you got to fight traffic soon again. It's getting worse here in the D.C. area again after a year of almost no traffic. And then weekends, you know, you're busy doing errands and things. So I think people realize, gee, I there's more I really want to do. And that's where I turn the switch on for him, saying, you know, that's your next stage of life, your next chapter. You now will have that opportunity to do something you really want to do. And that can be alone. It can be with family. It can be friends. Like I said, with your spouse. Do you want to travel? Do you want to move somewhere else? Do you want to pick up a new hobby, an old hobby you haven't done in a while? That's the beauty of this rewirement, because it allows people to really think, gee, what else do I really want to do? And I try to give them a forethought on this is what you can make of life, why you're here on this earth. And then I think once people think of it that way, they feel a little more calm down about moving on from their career.
So if you were to look at the folks that you deal with, and I won't say the burdensome ones, but the tougher ones to get to see the light, what was the switch? I know you would be persistent not to give up, but what was the switch with several of them that maybe were a little reluctant to buy what you're selling, so to speak, and then you'd say, great, and they say, okay, now I understand where you're coming from.
Well, the thing is, I give them so many options. I think that's the key. And a lot of people don't realize you have so many options if you're reluctant to leave and do something new. You can work. You can, and some people want to work all the time, but I just tell them they won't necessarily be working in what they're doing now, whether they set up their own company, whether they work part-time, whether they're a consultant, whether it's for money or pro bono, whatever it may be. I think that helps. Also, I tell them they can volunteer. There's a lot of times you can volunteer to help yourself and others, and it keeps you busy. And they may have not have thought about that. And then finally, I tell them there are so many social things you can do. And that's actually one of the newest things I put in my webinar, because I used to just say, hey, you can work full or part-time, or you can volunteer full or part-time, or do both, a little of each. Volunteer normally doesn't pay you, but it could possibly give you benefits. But the other one, it came from a woman in one of my webinars on the critique forum, Bob, and she said, you know, you need to tell me what else I can do. I don't want to work. I'm done with working. I don't want to volunteer. But what is my third option? And that's where I bring out social activities, because most people, even if you're an extrovert or an introvert, people like to be social. It's just extroverts like me, Bob, I like to go to parties and join in with 50 or 60 people. And the introvert likes parties too, but they're probably going to hang around one or two people to make that bond. And so this whole thing, new thing I've added called social activities is so key, because this is where you make new friends, you meet people that have hobbies like you, have interests like you, and it makes life very enjoyable without having to work or volunteer. So I think that is the key one. If someone is a little more stubborn to leave their work and move on and don't be afraid to try something new, the social aspect, I think, is convincing those hardcore folks that say, I don't want to leave this job because I really don't know what I'm going to do. And I think once I give them that opportunity, and of course, I give them websites where they can choose how to get involved socially with their interests and hobbies and meeting new people, old people, I think that really turns the light switch on for them.
You might not believe this, but many years ago, I couldn't talk on a microphone. I couldn't talk to people. I'd stare at my shoes. It's true. And I went to work, and, you know, I hid in a corner, and the boss was really a tough but fair boss, and said, listen, we do these seminars once a month for new, let's call it new companies, and you're going to go down and you're going to teach 1, 2, 3. Well, I didn't sleep for 2 weeks. I knew 1, 2, or 3 backwards and forwards. And I said, it's time to turn it over to, I won't use the name. And the person looked up at me and said, you're doing pretty good. See you. And he walked out. He returned an hour later. It was the cure. And then we went on the road. We did tax seminars around the country. And that was it. Then this person put me in front of 60 accountants and walked out of the room for the whole day. And that was it. That was the cure. So it gets back to what you were saying. I would have never, ever, I'd probably still be hiding in the corner if it wasn't for what he saw. And I am certain the people you deal with are probably not real indifferent than what I used to be.
and that is a perfect example. I like to think of it as getting out of your comfort zone, because a lot of us are so used to what we were paid to do, hired to do in our full-time jobs. And now it could be similar or something totally different. And I tell people, if you get out of your comfort zone, take that chance. Don't panic. Don't be afraid. Try it. The worst that can happen, you don't like it, and then you try something new. What was it, Edison? How many times did it take him to invent the light bulb? Many, many times. And he didn't succeed, but he finally hit the one solution that changed his life and all of ours. And so your example is something that you didn't think you could do it. You took that chance. You tried it. And for you, now look at you, you're on this radio show, you're up in front of people, you help people. And I think that shows everybody you can do it. And there's always something out there that can get people to do something different or similar that they were doing in the workaday world.
Yeah, for those that might be like that, I have trouble talking to two people, let alone a group. But then I realized whatever I was talking about, usually, you know, they didn't know as much as they might want to know. And then they asked questions and they knew more. And they were happy with that. And then, of course, when they were happy, I was happy. And I said, well, now I see the other side of this. It just isn't an automaton in front of a room for 3 hours. You're helping people understand things that most people don't understand. Income taxes.
And that brings, see, you recognize you're helping people that don't know it or need help, which it's a win-win. I like that term. I use it all the time. And for you, it's been a win-win because you are actually taking your knowledge and helping people that may not have that knowledge. So your self-worth, self-being has improved. You know you can do it. You know you matter. You know you make a difference. And I think that's the other thing I talk about. Psychologically, a lot of us have to matter in life. We have to make a difference. And we know for the most of us, we've done that in our careers, our original careers. And once we move on to the new rewirement stage, the new beginnings, you still want to feel you make a difference and you matter. And your example of getting in front of people and find they needed that knowledge and they appreciated it, that's all the difference in the world. That gives the one the confidence that you can leave your regular job and move on to your new stage of life. It really does work. It's amazing how our brains work. But the bottom line is we all need to feel we matter, that we make a difference. And if we can find that joy, whatever it may be, in a hobby, an interest, a part-time job, a volunteer job, then you think back and go, why did I do this earlier? And I think some people, as you pointed out, keep working and working for the comfort zone. And then they don't want to take that chance. But once they find they take that chance, hey, it wasn't so bad. Gee, why didn't I do this a while ago? And I'm finding quite a few people in my classes actually, while working, have started a hobby or interest or a part-time job on their own to try it. And that's a great idea, that it allows you to try something while you're still secure, if you will, in your full-time job. So once you leave that job, hopefully then you can concentrate on that new next beginning, and it will go smoothly. You've tried it, and now it can go full or part-time, however you want to outline it.
Okay, so it's a more boots on the ground question, Bob. If you were to look back and think of one, two, three, or four situations that you initially went in, not without any anxiousness, but you thought, and about midway through you go, oh, why am I doing this? And at the end you go, because I want to succeed. What was it that you did to become successful with that? Let's call him a challenging person.
Well, I think I get feedback. Almost everything I've done, I always try to get feedback from the group, the person I'm dealing with, the friends. And you have to be open to that. In other words, everything can be a challenge. And I think if you take the, I call them evaluations or critiques, however you want to say it, and you accept that honestly as one to improve you or to do a better job, that is has helped me make some of my decisions. And if I find it's not really my forte, and my friends tell me, gee, Bob, that's not really what you want to get into, I believe them. And then on the opposite end, the positive end, if they say, gee, you're really good at this, you need to make that a career, you need to put that into action. I think people like the power of positive thinking, and that's true for anything we do. And that's not to say there won't be some downfalls or not. There may be a mistake. We learn from mistakes. We learn from making wrong decisions. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing's hardly anything's perfect in this world. And I think that's so key. So in a lot of my decisions, I've asked my friends, is this really what I should be doing? Does this make sense to you? You've known me a long time. Is this a good, if you will, job fit or a new rewirement fit? And they're honest to tell me that. So again, I think one social network is so key. I think you need that, whether it's with your old former coworkers or with your family, friends, your spouse, whoever it may be. They're so important to that because they really want to help you and see you succeed. And often they can see things that you may have never thought of. That's the great thing about family and friends. They know you pretty well and they may think, hey, Bob, have you ever thought of this? And I'll go, you know, that's a good point. I think I need to do that and give that a try. So I think if people have a positive network of social contacts, that is a big key to moving on post-government or private work.
Bobby mentioned something called the power of positive thinking. Is that isn't that a book title?
If you wrote it, I'd like to read it. I don't know.
No, it's somebody title. Named, I think, Norman Vincent Peale.
My mom. He did The Power of Positive Thinking, correct. Mm-hmm.
And that was the book, and, you know, that was fairly young in my middle teens.
Right.
You know, what do I want to read this for, Mom? She said, read it.
Yeah. And, you know, I think the biggest influence for me were my parents on The Power of Positive Thinking. They always told me, take a gamble, take a chance, don't be afraid. And I think they were right, because obviously the first advice they gave me, they always knew I was good socially with people. So they knew right away I'd probably be good at teaching. And so that's where I started my undergrad work. And I finished with the teaching degree and started at teaching in high school. But then I think because of my young age at the time, right out of college, I was too close in my young age with the high school seniors I was teaching. So then my parents said, well, you know, try government work. I think you would enjoy government work. So again, they pushed me to get into government. And the other thing is, they were positive to say, if you stick with the government, you'll get the benefits, hopefully, and it'll a little more secure for you. And of course, once I got into the government, I still continued my training and teaching. And then when I left the government, I knew that was truly my comfort zone. And so I said, I still want to continue doing that in the private enterprise. But I knew part-time. I knew I didn't want to go back full-time because I wanted some of the freedom to work on some other things that I haven't done in my life. And so if I work full-time, I couldn't do it. So I tell people that as well. Having that positive thinking and support group from your family and friends is so key, because they're going to be there when you succeed and when there might be a little hiccup in the road. So that's where I recommend that.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that. It was a number of years ago, and I was comfortable on my feet, but I felt like, you know, I'm teaching people how to save dollars and taxes. Nothing wrong with that. But it was a parallel to me to say, maybe I'd like to go to talk to troubled kids. And so I went to different high schools, not in the jazzier high schools, and I would talk about what it takes to be happy, or not shrink stuff, but they just had issues, and I would be talking, and then they would be talking to each other, and I heard this one young lady say something to another one, and I can't repeat the words, but I basically said, if you want to be good at that, you need to practice and practice and practice. You might imagine what she was talking about. Anyway, she came up at the end and hugged me. Oof.
There you go. And there's your power of what you taught those kids. And see, I think that's the key. And I think so many of us, when we leave our regular jobs, feel, what can we do? What can we make people happier? How can I make myself happier? And you took that chance. And that one hug could be enough to say, boy, this is successful. I am getting through. Now, do you get through to all 100%? Probably not. You know, an absolute is an absolute. Those are rare at 100%. But because of that feedback you got, that convinced you, this is something I can do and continue if you want to do it. So that's a great story, because that's where I think people find talking to others who have rewired. That is so key. I think any people who have coworkers that have left the government service before them, talk to them, give them a call and say, how's it going? What have you found has been successful? What are you doing? Because I think the more we talk to people, the more ideas we can get. And I can say, hey, I want to do that, or I want to try that. And so, again, going back to the social network, is very key, because they're the ones that will be there when you leave your job to support you in what your new job or new career may be. And so I think having that social circle, that social network is so key.
You got it. And Andrew says it's time to take a break and let the listeners know a little bit more about NITP.
Who do you trust when making your most important decisions? National Institute of Transition Planning has been the trusted source for federal retirement planning, serving new, mid-career, and pre-retirement federal employees for more than 30 years. NITP's subject matter experts bring more than 800 years of collective expertise on federal benefits, financial, transition, and estate planning. Visit NITPinc.com. That's NITPinc.com to sign up for their free monthly newsletter and information about free webinars.
Does planning for retirement seem like a daunting task? Is retirement years away? It will arrive sooner than you think. Prepare now to stay on track. Join the thousands of federal employees and retirees who have already attended National Institute of Transition Planning's free monthly webinars to learn more about retirement and financial planning. NITP is the national leader and trusted source for federal retirement information. Visit NITPinc.com to sign up for NITP's free monthly newsletter and webinar.
Welcome back to the final leg of For Your Benefit. We're here today with Bob Stacey, and Bob has been captivating. If you're tuning in late, do yourself a favor and listen to the version that will go up on the net, probably about 15 minutes. Is that right, Andrew? Andrew says an hour after the show. Anyway, so we're heading to the final, 15 minutes, and one of the things that comes up when I talk to people, they say, well, I can't maintain any connectivity with people that I would like to. And, you know, I kind of think to myself, well, did you go out and try? I don't say that because that's none of my business. And I just say, well, it's not hard to pick up a phone, and it's not hard to say, hey, let's go out and have a burger now, huh? What do you think, Andrew? Andrew says yes. Bob, what do you think? How do we start the fire?
Well, actually, interesting you mentioned that, when how do we connect? And there was a friend of mine that I worked with way back, lost touch. They moved out of the D.C. area. And a friend of mine said, you know, have you tried Facebook? And what I did is I went on to Facebook on my account and searched for Tom Cameron, say. And sure enough, he was another Facebook person that I had not connected with. And now we've reconnected after all these years. So whether it's through a social media system, you're right. A lot of it, if you wait for someone to contact you, you may wait forever. So right. What I do is use my social media contacts. I talk to friends who may know someone. So I think that helps, because that way you stay connected to others. And that is so key, because, you know, part of my initials that I do in my class, the MPS, and I'll just review that. I always tell folks, you got to remember, if there's anything else from my webinars, remember three initials, MPS. And M stands for mentally. You got to be mentally active. You want your mind to keep doing it, the use it or lose it, or just do it theory from Nike. You got to keep your mind active. And I give it a good example. My mom, who is 96, still living, thank God, and she is pretty good. And mentally, she's a sharp Bob, as you and me on this phone call today, this radio show, because she is always doing spider solitaire on her computer. My dad did crosswords to keep his mind working. So even if you're not at a full-time job or part-time job or volunteer, you've got to keep that mind working. The second initial is physical, the P. You got to keep busy physically with your body. Atrophy sets in. For any of us who have had operations or something like that, a fall where we have to stay in bed to recover, we kind of get kind of weak because we're not up and about. So physical is a key option, I think, to keep you going post-rewirement. And then finally, the S is social. And I know we've talked about that. But the more I think about it, that mental and physical, probably you can do pretty much on your own individually. It's the social one where we as human beings psychologically need that social network. So I think I tell folks to remember MPS because those three initials, I think whatever you're going to choose to do in this new beginnings, this rewirement, if you got those three, whatever it is you're doing, I think every one of us would be successful in our next stage.
Bob, I hope the folks that are listening know that the only groups we talk to are federal employee, maybe soon to be retiree, late mid-career, et cetera. So it isn't that we do it to anybody else other than federal employees. What we do outside of NITP, that's another story. So over the years that you've been doing this, do you find that maybe the social agencies are more chatty than the Intel world or the engineering group? What have been your toughest challenge to get the people to participate, and what was the easiest to get them to participate?
I think it's an individual. There's some agencies that I get a lot of activity, whether I'm in person before COVID or now when I do the webinars via the internet. And some groups are a lot more chatty than others. But it also depends. It's more, instead of grouping like that, it's really individuals. And if I get a room of 30 or 40 people in a webinar in a room, there's 30 or 40 different personalities, and each person is different. And some understand this whole process quicker than others. It's the ones that aren't quite sure that may need a push or they need some help. And whether that's through the speakers that NITP offers during the 3 or 4 day series of webinars or speaking engagements, others may need individual counseling. And I always offer at the end of each seminar for me, my email, if they need some individual counseling, I'm free to do that because some people just need a push more than others. Others won't talk to me again because they already know what they're going to do, and that's great. I'm glad they do it. And some people probably could actually conduct a webinar like mine because they figured it all out and they've got that aspect. And I know during my webinars, I tell folks, gee, if you've got the experience and want to do something different, NITP is always looking for speakers, possibly. And that's another type of thing they can do. So yeah, I think it's more individual than just a bottom line with agencies. Some agencies are more social just by the fact of that's what they do. But every agency brings a whole gamut of different people. I know when I worked at DIA, Defense Intelligence Agency, and I was teaching, I'd get a room full of extroverts in one class and a room full of introverts in another class. And so I had to adjust my training for the majority of the group that I was working with the NITP webinars and the in-person seminars. The whole groups are different. And what I do like is most of them do have evaluations, and they often will give me ideas. And I even can learn, even though I've been working with you all for 9, 10 years, I feel I can learn even today. And when someone gives me an idea, I'll try to employ it to make my presentation better. And again, feedback, whatever one does in their rewirement is so key, because that feedback can just make you a better person and make you improve and do it even better. So I think, every group is different.
Every group is different. And not to keep telling the war stories, it's a message probably for anybody listening, but this was a law enforcement group, let's call them. And they had more questions than you could fit into 3 hours. And I might have mentioned this before. And I walked out with the training officer and I said, wow. And they said, well, they've been trying to deal with the people that they deal with. And now they've turned that against taxes. So that's where their questions came from. So whether it's taxes or what you talk about or what the person that talks about finances to come to the seminars would, if you're unfortunate enough not to be able to go to one of these seminars or webinars, then you want to look at how you can get the most out of your career, not money necessarily, but job satisfaction. And a lot of times these seminars will deal with that as well.
So, that's that key last thing you said on job satisfaction is another key point, because I believe there are some, not probably not a lot, there are some that have entered the government workday world just to be satisfied. And in my view, that maybe can be good. But my view is that then its next stage, the new beginnings, the next chapter of life, it can be more than satisfied. I think there are people that finally pull the plug on government service or say in private service. And when they rewire, they will find they actually will enjoy their life better. Their physical health improves, their mental health improves, their social network improves. And that is a win-win again, because personally, I enjoyed my career with almost 33 years with the government. I enjoyed it for the most part, working with the people and the work I did. But I absolutely love, and I'm going to use that word, love what I've been doing post-government when I worked for another contracting company doing leadership management training, and now only working with you guys the last 10 years. It is totally a joy. I get so much satisfaction. Now, does it mean everybody loves it? No, of course not. And I understand that. I always look at the Olympics. You throw out the tens that people just think it's the best thing since sliced bread, and the people say a waste of time. You throw them out, you take the average. And so I find that's what I try to instill mainly in my webinar seminars, is that this next stage, this rewirement, can be even better or maybe better than what you were doing for your career to begin with. And when people realize that, I see the joy. I see the smiles come on their face, and they can't wait to do it. And so I think that's the ultimate, where I tell people, hey, don't be afraid. Take that chance. Get out of your comfort zone. And as long as you keep busy mentally, physically, social, it may be the best part of your life. Because as you said, there are young retirees. I retired at 56. And my mom said, oh, my, you know, if you live as old as me, you got another 40 years to do something on this planet. And so the last 13 have been a total joy for me. And I just wish that can happen to every listener on your radio show today and in my classes, because that makes life worth living. And the joy I see when people find that niche, whatever they're going to do, makes me very happy.
I bet. Now, we got, what do we got, 3-4 more minutes, Andrew. So what do you feel was one of your best responses in class to what you were imparting or trying to impart, and somebody came up and said, you know, I never looked at it that way. Thank you.
Well, my best example that I do use today is there was a woman at NIH, National Institutes of Health, and in her part-time in her spare time, as a hobby, she was a quilter. And after she had my session and talking about how it can be exciting and doing something worthy and benefiting herself and others, you know what she did? She wrote me later and she said, I've started my own quilting company, in the sense that she can stay at home It's mentally, physically, socially active. She makes quilts on demand. She advertises quilts on a home shopping network, on Craigslist, you name it, uses social media through family and friends. And then she even makes quilts, just say if you want a new scarf or gloves, and she'll sell them as her products. And not only is she earning quite a bit of extra income, which helps all of us because none of us get our salary when we leave the government, not our full salary, it's given her that joy that she makes a difference to people, that she matters. And so for her, her whole life has turned around. Just taking that one idea of a hobby that I gave her, and she took that hobby and has turned it into a very productive, self-fulfilling career, if you will, even though it's part-time, on her own time. But she's like in heaven now, because this is something that put turned the light on for her, if you will, and said, you know, why didn't I think of this before? Well, of course, she wanted to complete her government career.
I think we're going to have to bid each other adieu. Andrew shakes his head. Yes. Thank you so much. I thoroughly enjoyed the show. Brought back memories of things that people helped me with. You're a good man. Thanks.
Well, thank you, Bob, today as well.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to For Your Benefit, presented by NITP and sponsored by WEPA. Please tune in next Monday at 10 a.m. for a topic solely devoted to you, the federal employee. This show can also be heard on demand at federalnewsradio.com. Search For Your Benefit. Thanks for listening.